This is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode number 458, recorded Wednesday, October 2nd, 2019, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
Always amazes me how well you do that.
So what you're saying is that I should quit my day job and become a professional kazoo player?
Sure.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind for the next time I need to become a professional kazoo player.
You never know what skills will be useful and or marketable in the future.
Yes, you know, when automation has replaced all human activity that currently constitutes a job, we can entertain by becoming professional kazoo players. There's a dream.
I don't know what you mean by we.
Well, you know, you'll have to adapt as well to the future of kazooing.
I am not likely to adapt by making music. I am not musically... anything.
Okay. So, a few things. We weren't here last week.
We weren't, and that was my fault.
Yes, I was sitting preparing to return to New York from being away and got a message asking if we could record on Tuesday, which I would gladly have done if I was not on a plane till 10 o'clock that evening.
Yes.
I figured running into the house and immediately recording a podcast was not a practical approach.
It was not a good week.
I'm assuming by that that I will just express my sympathies without inquiring further.
Okay. And good news, I became a grandfather yesterday.
Congratulations.
Yay.
You seem too young for that.
Well, sure. Why not?
But how old, you know, I'm just sort of asking, how old do you think somebody has to be to not seem too old to be a grandfather?
Well, I mean, to be fair, my daughter is the one that had the baby is 32. So, I mean, it's not like she had a baby young.
Yeah. I didn't say she was. I just said that you seem like a very young individual to call a grandfather.
That's because I act young. I'm young at heart. Young at heart and spirit.
Okay. I'll accept that. I was attempting to pay you a compliment.
Thank you.
Are you going to start adopting all of the traditional grandfather cliches?
Man, I'm still working on, my day-to-day is still, I'm a father.
Okay.
So, probably not. Although, I have been known to yell, get off my lawn, a few times.
Yes, I seem to recall that from our early association, there was a lot of get off my lawn discussions.
Yes. I'm old and I'm grumpy.
Okay. So, I went away for a few days, and then I came back. But while I was away, a home automation crisis presented itself to me. So I thought I would talk about said home automation crisis.
Oh, yes, please. Oh, noes. What happened?
Well, I was on my JetBlue flight nonstop from Long Beach, California to JFK. By the way, Long Beach is a nice little airport if you haven't been there.
Interestingly, Long Beach. No, not Long Beach. That's never mind. Unrelated. I'm thinking Long Island.
Yes.
Long Island and Long Beach are way away from each other.
Not really. There is a Long Beach on Long Island.
But isn't Long Beach in California?
different Long Beach, but the Long Beach I was referring to is the one in California. However, there is a Long Beach on Long Island.
How many Long Beaches are there?
That is an interesting question.
There's a lot of Long Beaches.
I just Googled Long Beach, and I got the Long Beach, New York, Long Beach, California. I don't see. Are there any other Long Beaches? Those are the only ones I know of. Here we are. Long Beach disambiguation. The Long Beach, a private housing estate in Hong Kong. Long Beach, British Columbia. Long Beach, Newfoundland and Labrador. Long Beach on two Long Beaches in Ontario. There's, of course, Long Beach, California. Long Beach, New South Wales, which is a suburb in Australia. Long Beach, both one word and two words, in New Zealand. There's the USS Long Beach, which was the first nuclear-powered guided missile cruiser. And that was the second one, but there was a patrol frigate called Long Beach, which was in use from 1943 to 1945, loaned to the Russian Navy, and then in 1962 to the Japan Maritime Self-Defense Force.
So this, of course, raises the natural question. Which Long Beach is the longest?
I'm not sure, but I live on a Long Island, and it is long.
Long Island is where my granddaughter was born.
You should stop by.
I'm not down there. I'm not up there. I'm down in Florida. My wife's up there.
Yes, I'm just saying you're always welcome in the neighborhood. I would take you out to an appropriate meal.
Well, thank you very much.
Just remember, it was 90 in New York today, somewhat unseasonably, this is not usually the time of year where we expect 90-degree weather. So you would have been able to stand it.
Would have been just like home.
I'll take your word for it. I have not been to Jacksonville. Anyway, I was trying to tell you my home automation crisis story.
Oh, yes, please. And I'm sorry.
No, you had many interesting things to say about the history of Long Beaches. So I was on my flight from Long Beach to JFK, and I was on JetBlue, which is an airline I'm fond of. As you've heard me say before, one of the reasons being that they have free Wi-Fi. So because they had free Wi-Fi, what I did was I used it. So I got an alert from my house that the front door to the exterior of the building, which is shared with my neighbors, happened to be open from 10:57 in the morning, and my plane was scheduled to arrive at 10 at night. So this is my crisis. What do I do about that next time? I had information indicating that there was an unsafe situation. And I was trying to figure out, how do I deal with this when I am thousands of miles away? I think there must be a home automation solution to this. So I'm going to ask you, and then I will tell you what I've come up with.
Lock your doors before you leave.
I did lock my door. This is the external shared door. Do you want me to explain how the door came to be open?
That would help.
My neighbor often gets deliveries, and rather than going to the front door, he buzzes them in, since we have an electronic door strike on the door. And they come up, deliver things to him, and then leave, and often forget to close the door.
You don't have like one of those thingies that automatically closes the door, like, you know, when you were in school, the little hydraulic thing above the door.
Yeah. Proposed it. Rejected.
What?
It has been rejected by the owner. I don't own the building, therefore I cannot install that. I was allowed to install a door sensor, because that's just a battery operated thing that goes next to the door. However, installing a commercial door closer has been vetoed at this time.
Okay, then bungee cord.
No.
Please don't let the dog out sign.
How would that help with delivery people?
They would see the sign and realize that there's a cat inside, and it would encourage them to close the door.
There's no cat inside.
Doesn't matter.
You don't want to hear what my solution is?
Yes, I'm just trying to guess.
Okay. Well, I cannot install any large amount of hardware.
Okay.
So I've decided to try to solve the problem in software.
You so can't solve it. How are you going to solve a human problem in software?
That is the challenge. So so while I was on the plane, I attempted to send a text message to my neighbor to inform him of the situation.
Okay.
But he did not actually look at his text messages. So I've come up with a situation where I can have my house call and play a pre-recorded message to his phone. Hello, neighbor. Your delivery person or you have left the front door open. Please
go. But how do you know it's him and not you?
I'll work on the script.
So I'm like, hey, man, I'm out of town. I can't get to the door, but the door to the exterior door to the building's open. Can you run down there and close it? Because, my gosh, we could be letting all sorts of cats and animals and raccoons in.
Number one, he doesn't run.
Is that not a colloquial saying for go?
Either way, I tried that. I'm trying to automate this because it's not the first time somebody delivering something has done this. And I offered a more high-tech solution. I do have a video out there and offered him access, but he declined. So I thought having a computer call his phone and tell him things was the best I could do.
I don't know, man. It seems obnoxious to me.
I was going to ask.
Impossibly illegal. Does that count as a robocall?
Not if he consents.
And what if he doesn't consent?
Then I won't do it.
I don't know, man. It seems obnoxious. I'd rather just put a bungee cord on the door.
Rejected.
I think you're.
I thought it was
a plick.
I thought it was a clever solution to a problem. Robocalling my neighbor.
Okay.
I tried text messaging. I sent an email to the person who lives in the adjoining building and said, could you walk by and close the door? Unfortunately, they didn't get home until after I did. I guess I need more neighbors. We need a neighborhood watch, I guess.
Could be.
But if anybody has any solutions to my problem that do not involve putting a closer on the door, which was my initial suggestion. Anything that involves making holes in the door has been rejected.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Unfortunately, those are the most effective solutions, in my opinion, but I'm going with the more clever, try to notify the people involved.
I think the problem you'll run into is that if they cared, it wouldn't be a problem in the first place.
Oh, he cares. He just doesn't do stairs well.
Okay.
Anyway, problems aside, that was one of my home automation challenges. It's one where I don't think there is an easy solution. That's why this is the best compromise I can come up with. But it makes me think, now that I'm setting up the ability for my home to send SMSs to arbitrary phone numbers or to call them up and play a pre-recorded message, what other fun I could have with that?
I'm sure you could have all sorts of fun with that.
I'm sure I can think of something interesting. I need more notifications in my home. Not so many as I get notification fatigue, but I feel like I should be told about important things that happen in the homestead. Anyway, let's see what else is going on. So we had some news. Apparently, Google updated its policies to not store assistant audio data by default.
Woo!
Google announced the Android 10 Go edition.
Possibly the worst named product in existence.
Well, why? The Go edition has been around for a while, and this is the Android 10 version of it.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about because they already have a programming language named Go.
Yeah, so what you're saying is it's not the Android 10 part, it is you don't like the whole Go concept.
Right. I got excited because I thought, hey, maybe I could write Android apps in Go. That would be cool because I happen to really love the language. But no. Well,
probably a better name would be Light.
Well, And there's also Google Go is an app. Right?
Yeah, but Google Go is an app. There's also Gallery Go. Go, the Go apps are the light versions of the regular apps.
I don't like it. What's wrong with light?
I'm fine with light.
Standard, non-professional.
I think it's also sort of this concept that when you start saying light, people start asking the question, why was your original version not light?
I thought that what they should ask is, what features is it missing?
Well, I don't know why the major version of all these things tends to be so heavy to begin with, is my point. Either way, I use a lot of the Go apps, even though I don't have a theoretical need for them. Because I do have a phone that has more memory. But it's because sometimes I don't want a hefty app.
Yeah.
Moving along, we're going to talk about some apps.
Apps.
Yes, Pocket Cast has gone freemium. If you were a purchaser of Pocket Cast, you do get some perks. But otherwise, if you never paid for it, then now you get all of those features and you don't have to pay a cent.
And
which is simultaneously good. Well, first of all, they're co-owned by NPR and a bunch of radio studios. So it seems to be that those companies have a different profit motive.
Advertising.
Yeah, well, the Plus version, which is going to be their paid model, will give access to the Mac, Windows, and web apps, cloud storage hosting, and exclusive icons and themes. Now, originally, they said that if you had previously bought the desktop app, you would get 3 years for free, but they have now pretty much said life for anybody who did it, because there was some, let's just say, objection to what they were doing. Now, I remember last time something like this happened, I did object. This time, I didn't.
Like to say that if you like an app, do not expect lifetime support for any specific amount of money.
It wasn't so much that. It was more that something I paid for was now being given away for free. It sort of made me feel like it was that they did not necessarily appreciate the fact that they said, okay, we will give you this new stuff for 3 years, and I don't really care about the new stuff anyway. But it was sort of a nice gesture. When somebody just says, okay, we've decided to give this thing away for free, and all you who paid, we're not going to thank you even. We're just going to say, oh, yeah, you don't have to pay anymore. But we're back to they show the more important thing, which is that they appreciated the people who had supported them, and that emotion is more important to me at the moment.
Okay.
I understand that life changes. Sometimes you decide you're going to pivot on your business model. But it is nice to know that you appreciate the people who got you to this point.
Sure.
And their loyalty.
I was actually complaining to the people that were complaining about the lifetime. That 3 years is not enough.
I thought 3 years was fine.
Yeah.
I thought that was showing that, yeah, you got, they gave you something for the money. Now, this is apparently desktop apps, which is the web app and et cetera. And I'd never even used the web app. I paid for the web app out of support for the fact that I liked the product.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping for an API to be able to download my listening history, but that's neither here nor there. Since it was available in that app, but you want some, you listen. Cloud storage for creators and listeners who want to use Pocket Cast for all of their video and audio files. Exclusive app icons and themes. I don't really care about that. But. So we'll see what happens. It may be that I decide that Pocket Cast in the future is not for me.
Maybe.
But for now, I appreciate their efforts.
I do too.
Google Home is apparently getting a redesigned Cast Media UI. So the Google Home app is the center of the home universe on Google, and apparently they've decided that they're going to work on one that may be a little more helpful. Namely, the current one is just a play button, a play pause button, a track shift, and a volume thing.
Yeah. And
apparently the new one includes, you know, album art and additional features that make it look more like a player of some sort.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say that I appreciate the thought.
Yep.
Google Chrome app is no longer the web view provider in Android 10. So
if you remember
a while ago, they decided to no longer have a separate web view app. And then they just handled it over to Chrome. But this is sort of a problem because, again, not everybody wants Chrome. So what they've decided is that they're splitting it up again, even though it's updated separately. They're saying that it's still sharing common code. So it gives the benefit of reducing
this.
Well, they're saying that it gives the benefit of having this without actually having you require just install the full Chrome. So they've separated the Chrome engine from the Chrome UI, is what I'm seeing it as.
Which is funny because Chrome,
yeah,
is actually the programming term for the UI. The border and the buttons and all that stuff. It's called Chrome.
Could say that the engine is the Chromium or the WebView engine.
Yes. And then Chrome is the stuff that gives you, it's the UI around the engine.
Because, you know, I have a Kiwi browser, which is another Chromium-based browser on my phone. I have it because it allows Chrome-based extensions, which Chrome itself doesn't. Back to the Lite conversation, Ring released their Rapid Ring app, which is a Lite version or companion to the other app that gets you quick access to the live view.
Ooh, giggity.
I happen to like Ring. I have some issues with Ring, but I like them overall.
All right, cool.
I just upgraded one of my rings to a Ring 2.
Oh, no.
Well, there was a place where I needed more resolution.
Sure. You're not going to get a whole lot of resolution on something that has to go out to the internets.
Well, that's the other thing that annoys me about video doorbells. No local control.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that if I want to access it remotely, that it has to go out to the internet, but I'm in the house. Let me access it directly.
Yep. Nope.
Yeah. Well, that's another conversation. Either way, the resolution for the new Ring 2 is actually not bad compared to the original Ring. It does give you a little more detail, and I needed it in that location because I was having trouble making things out.
Alrighty then.
Tasker added support for automating Android 10's dark mode toggle. I really want to get back into Tasker. I keep saying that, but I always say I have these potentially good ideas for Tasker automations, but I never really sit down and map them out the same way that I have this trouble figuring out my home automations.
Yep.
I feel like there needs to be a guide to creating an automation. You know, the steps you have to go through in your mind to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Moving along, Cloudflare's private DNS app got a free VPN.
Ooh.
I'm considering installing that because you never know when you might need a free VPN. As long as they don't make you constantly use it, because I set up a VPN for use on JetBlue flights.
Mm-hmm.
Because JetBlue filters out SSH.
Ooh.
And I use SSH to tunnel into some things.
Sure.
So I set up a VPN using my router. So it is a very long, complex key that even I don't remember that I have to transfer between devices.
You're not using password, right? You're using...
That's a key.
Yeah, okay.
But I'm saying it is not something that I could type in.
Okay, good.
I'd never use anything I could type in with that. Either way, it's isolated, but still. It is running off of my router, so there's only so much isolation I'm willing to accept. Moving along, the Transit app got a dark mode for Android 10 users.
The Transit app.
Yeah, Transit's not a bad app. It's a transit app, as it sounds. So it's an app that advises you on public transit options.
Alrighty.
YouTube Music will now come pre-installed on new Android 10 devices, replacing the Google Play Music option. even though it's not quite a one-to-one comparison?
Because why not?
Why is it not a one-to-one? It doesn't have all the features and functionality.
Not quite what I meant, but okay. Never mind. Carry on. It's cool.
Well, for example, the Google Play Music music storage thing, where you can actually play music that is stored in your own account, is not available in here. And that is popular with some music enthusiasts.
I'm sure it is.
I was having this, I was having this discussion over the last 2 days when I was giving somebody a lift about 100 miles.
Yeah.
So we had time to talk about the differences in groups that like Sirius Radio versus streaming audio in their cars.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it sort of came up in this concept of there are still a large group of people who do not want to use up their data streaming music when they can just cache it locally.
Or sure, I'll buy that.
And there's another group who don't know how to do that or don't want to do that who want Sirius in their cars. So, by the way, if Sirius didn't drive me so crazy, I might actually consider giving them money. Have you ever talked to those guys?
I try not to.
That's sort of the point. Every time I talk to them, I get infuriated. Their customer service stinks. Which is a shame because they have some occasionally good content. Which I would not always object to listening to. But anyway, that's my problem. There's plenty of things to listen to that don't infuriate me. My ideal service experience is when I don't have to talk to somebody, but when I have a problem and I try to need to talk to somebody, they're there and they're helpful. I think that's a very low bar. That the service works without me having to deal with people. And if I need people, they are available and competent.
Well, you were fine up until you require that they be competent. Man, finding good employees is hard.
I know. I don't hire anybody, but I am involved with them once they are hired. So I can certainly say I sympathize. But again, what it comes to is if you want your customers to be happy, you have to find people who will make them happy. And there are ways to do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, by the way, I'm not requiring mastery. And sometimes it is not necessarily the employee's fault. It is the culture that has been created around the employee. So I will say that Sirius is probably more at fault than the people that that work for them.
Okay.
Anyway, moving along.
I tend to blame incompetency on the incompetent.
Well, let me ask you a question.
And I know it's not a very politically correct view of the world, but...
No, sometimes it's correct. You've heard the expression, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. There are people who can provide excellent service even if they are not given the proper resources by their employer.
Simply because they care.
Yeah. But if your employer doesn't give you any good resources and does not hire people who have any amount of caring, then you've lost out on both grounds.
Sure, but and then there's the person where the company provides all that is necessary and they just don't have the desire to put forth any effort.
I have met plenty of people who would fit into that category, but I'm just saying I've met enough people who work for Sirius who do not seem to be able to provide service that I am not necessarily blaming them individually.
Okay, I'll buy that.
Plenty of people who at companies who I just said, I do not know why this company retains you, but not to them. Either way, moving along, because that topic is just going to depress me. NBC has joined all of the other networks in launching their own streaming service. So
sure, because why not?
Well, remember what was promised to us. When we said for years that we wanted a la carte television,
yes.
They said you'll have to pay for everything individually, and they were right. And it will cost more money, which it does. So.
Yes.
Now, admittedly, you get some things you wouldn't have otherwise gotten. But I don't know who has the, you know, the money to subscribe to all these services. So you have to pick and choose. And it may be that for 6 months, you're going to be an NBC subscriber. And then the next 6 months, you're going to join Disney Plus. So you may have to have periods where you binge watch all of the shows you want on that network and then give it up for a while.
Yep.
Or maybe they'll join together and create bundles and we'll end up back where we started. Amazon has created an alliance to demand voice assistant compatibility.
Interesting.
Several big players in this field are not actually in said alliance. But the idea is that they want to make it so that the devices are independent of the voice assistant. So they would work with multiple ones at the same time. So these are people like Amazon, Baidu, BMW, Bose, Cerence, Ecobee, Harman, Logitech, Microsoft, Salesforce, Sonos, Sun United, Sony, Spotify, Tencent, Free, Orange, SVR, Verizon, etc. But again, no Google.
Sure, because, okay, when Google is doing these voice recognition training, I'm sure there is some benefit to having control over the microphone. Yeah. Whereas if you're the – and so Google's incentives are different than, say, Sonos's incentives. Sonos is the hardware manufacturer and who doesn't care what the smart service is behind it, and they don't care the quality of the audio that the smart service receives. They are pressured, or they are incentivized by lower manufacturing cost, so putting in a cheaper microphone. Whereas Google, when they're manufacturing something, they are the service behind it, so they are incentivized to put in a better microphone. I don't know how.
Well, all I'm going to say is the realistic part of this. How many initiatives has Google or other companies been part of that never went anywhere?
I don't. So think what you're saying is I'm getting worried before I need to.
I was more going to say, just because you're part of an initiative doesn't mean it will ever actually produce anything. Are you familiar with the data transfer project? Let me just find the. Here we are. It's datatransferproject.dev. So the data transfer project was created in 2018 to create an open source service-to-service data portability platform so that all individuals could move data between online service providers whenever they want. Have you heard about that lately?
No.
Yeah. So what happened? They put a couple people on a project. All these companies said, oh, look, we're working on data portability. And that means that you can take your data anywhere. Now, there are still people committing to it. However, I don't remember the last time that I heard that I could just go and do it. So I would love it if I could move my data around. By the way, the data portability project doesn't seem to imagine that you're going to want to move your data anywhere but between any of the companies involved, but they do provide for the possibility you could. So it sounds like a good idea, but I look forward to actually seeing a lot of these working groups turn into something you can actually use. So I don't think Amazon is necessarily in a position to be worried about the alliance they created, or that the other companies should be worried about the joining or not joining.
I agree.
I have no reason for sharing the story other than I just thought this thing looked interestingly weird. It is a super tall mechanical keyboard.
I've seen this. I've seen the reviews for it, and, well, interesting.
Sounded bad.
Yeah. It's like they said, okay, well, here's how we're going to shape the keyboard, and then they laid out all the keys, and then they figured out what to put on those keys. So a lot of the key arrangements make no sense whatsoever.
Yeah. And I like compact keyboards. Remember, we talked about 60%. We talked about 40% at one point. It's a pain to type on some of them, but for travel, it's actually not bad. And for backup.
I think that if you could, if you used it as your daily driver everywhere, so you got used to it, then a 40% is probably, you know, maybe more efficient.
Not necessarily. I have a lot of trouble with the 60%, and I used it for days on end. But a 40% keyboard, let's just see here. I'm just pulling a picture of one up.
I mean, you only have, what, three rows, or is it four rows of keys?
So here's a $54 40% keyboard. Let me just, I'm just zooming in on this here. So you have the QWERTY. You're missing all the function keys and all the number keys, which you have to do with a combination of key combinations.
Yep.
So it is a really, really small keyboard. So yes. I'm just looking at the reviews of this otherwise.
Although sometimes they're not actually key combinations as much as they're layers.
Yeah. I'm just looking at here. Improved layout and next version will be fantastic. Let's see. Beautiful, small, and illuminated keyboard. If you want to save space, this is a great solution. So you just sort of see all of these interesting approaches. But either way, I just like seeing interesting pieces of hardware, even though I don't think I'd ever use that thing, the super tall one.
They do make for beautiful keyboards.
Yeah, but I didn't buy my keyboard for beauty. I bought my keyboard for typing.
I don't know. I bought mine because it's gorgeous. And
but do you type on it?
All the time. And it is like the only mechanical keyboard that you can find. And you can't even find these things anymore. You know, it's a split angled single piece keyboard that has, you know, it's an 80% keyboard. It's a 10 keyless. It's got all the keys except for the keypad.
Yeah. And as I said, I have this whole sort of experiment with getting my keyboard smaller and smaller. And I'm still down. The smallest I've ever used is 60%.
Why don't you just use all you need is two buttons, one for a zero, one for a one, and off you go.
Not really productive for me.
Oh, well.
Anyway. It's
probably as small as you can go.
Well, again, I just seem to experiment. Amazon showed off some new hardware. There's a new Echo. There's the Echo Flex, which is the outlet plug version of the Echo. There's the new Echo Dot with built-in clock, an 8-inch Echo Show, a high-end Echo Studio speaker, Echo earbuds, Echo glasses, Echo Ring, Echo Glow Light for kids, an Echo Smart Oven. Have you noticed that every time they have a hardware event, it's just a matter of, let's see how many things we can put our technology into, and let's see what works?
Okay, I'm confused by what's the Echo Loop. Is that a ring?
It is.
That you wear on your hand?
Correct.
And it's got to have, like, what, 3 minutes of battery life?
Well, it's a developer product. So it's part of what they call these day one edition products where you have it's exclusively by invitation. So I'm just looking here at what they say. It is a ring. It says here that you can use it for quick calls, fast answers, and bits of info to help you stay on top of your day. Connect to your top contact, put them on speed dial, get into the moment you need it. That's going to get info the moment you need it. Scratch resistant, water resistant, and has an all-day battery.
Yeah, right. Not with any usage.
Well, again, probably. When some people start getting this who are not the people at Amazon, it may be interesting. But this, like the glasses, I think are products that they don't necessarily think are going to take off right now, but they want to let early adopters.
You know, my daughter and I were flying back from our last week, and we stopped in, you know, airports always have those stores that have the cool electronics. And we stopped in one, and they had eyeglasses. Sunglasses that were headphones that used like, you know, I don't know, bone conduction or whatever. They didn't actually put anything in your ear, but you could hear them when you put them on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the Echo frames do not surprise me.
I don't think they're necessarily bone conduction, because I think you can actually hear people talk to echoes near you if they have the glasses.
I have a pair of bone conduction headphones. I love them.
I'm just saying I don't think these are them.
Okay, I understand. Yeah, yeah. And the other comment I have is I think that the Echo Dot with the clock on it is really sweet.
I think that's a good idea. That one I like. The Echo clock, Dot with a clock on it, I'm in favor of. The Echo Ring, no.
Yeah.
Not my thing. Anyway, so one more thing. The rights to Ms. Pac-Man are now caught up in a legal battle. I just thought this was interesting when I caught it. Apparently, Ms. Pac-Man is an issue. So just to go back, the original version of Ms. Pac-Man was an unauthorized enhancement kit for Pac-Man.
Really?
So it was created by a group of MIT students who created an unauthorized replacement kit, and then they worked with the U.S. distributor of Pac-Man, Bally Midway, to develop that modification into the officially licensed Ms. Pac-Man. So as part of their licensing deal, they received the right to a perpetual royalty payment whenever a Ms. Pac-Man game was sold. Bally Midway had the copyright and trademark, and Bandai Namco eventually reacquired in the intervening years. So apparently the company had been negotiating with the successors to the GCC deal in order to resolve the relationships the two companies had with the game. Mm-hmm. So they wanted to resolve the royalty rights. That agreement was being signed. However, At Game swooped in and acquired the royalty rights from the original group. And apparently this is an issue because At Games, this company, creates bargain basement retro hardware releases. And it had controversy last year when it sent a misleading version of its plug-and-play console to reviewers. The early review version contained authentic emulated arcade ROMs. The final release contained only downgraded NES versions, even though Namco said they never approved the release of the modified NES versions, and they're actually suing over their conduct. At Games made a prototype miniature arcade Ms. Pac-Man using trademarks without company authorization, and showed it to at least one of the successors to the original company that had the rights as part of negotiations. It's apparently been contacting GameStop and Walmart about selling that cabinet without the involvement of the rights holders.
Hmm. That's interesting.
So apparently, unless this gets solved, there will be no official Ms. Pac-Man products in the air.
But
I just thought it was an interesting story.
It is. You're absolutely correct.
So a few programming notes. I'm sorry we didn't have an episode last week. We didn't quite make it work.
That's my fault, folks, and my sincerest apologies.
But I was going to remind you that I am unavailable next Wednesday because I will be in the process of fasting.
Okay.
So
is this are we going to bump it a day or skip?
I am happy with bumping it a day, but it will have to be the Thursday.
Okay.
I cannot bump it to the Tuesday because this is a religious observance, and Jewish religious observances start at night, which means it actually starts Tuesday night and ends Wednesday night. But immediately after I am done with it, I will want to eat food. I will not want to talk to you until I've eaten food. So,
no worries, man. Thursday's fine.
So we will record on Thursday. And because I will be occupied on Tuesday and Wednesday night, I will have everything that will be recorded will likely be, I'll see what I can do about getting a few things added on Wednesday night, but it will likely be everything between today and Monday, as I will be occupied with other things. Other than that, I have nothing scheduled through the end of the month, so there should be no disruption to our recording schedule until we get to November, when there may be a disruption to our recording schedule due to some time zone issues. I may be going away from work sometime in November, so I may have to adjust the time because the time that we record the show in the place that I will be, let's just say, not a time that I'm supposed to be awake if I adjust to local time.
No worries. I'm sure we can find a time.
So we'll we may have to record a different time of day, but I am committed to continuing these recordings.
I imagine we could even do it, you know, like at 10 o'clock in the morning for me would be cool. If that works better for you there.
We will figure it out once I have a confirmed date. As of now, I've been told that I am going to be away for a few weeks starting in early November. And it won't be the same place as last time. So different time zone. But you'll hear about that one. I have more details. Anyway, until next week, next Thursday, please mark your calendars. Have a good week.
Bye, folks.